It was a simple moment in life this week. Miriam, who is learning about magnets in her class, came into the kitchen and said, "Dad, I have a magic trick for you." And I was doing dishes or something, making pancakes, something, and she was on the ground at the level, and she had two magnets from our fridge, and one was stuck on the handle of the oven, and the other one was stuck inside, and I wasn't supposed to see it, and she was going to do some, you know, repelling, attracting thing with the magnets that would make it move on its own. But because I was standing up, I could see both magnets, and had to confess to her that I could see how this was going to work, and she laughed and then came up with a couple more ways to try and trick me in making magnets disappear and things like that. That moment came back to me as I was thinking about this reading, because we have sort of a on-the-ground perspective and an above-ground perspective going on in how we think of the reading. And for Miriam, she could only see the one piece of that. And for the one who was above me, I could see the whole thing as it laid out. We have the Sadducees who don't believe in the resurrection. Luke makes sure to tell us. And we have Jesus, who is bringing to us this greater perspective and thing. It needs to be said, the resurrection that is being spoken here is not the resurrection of Jesus. It's the original view of what comes after death, that there is this great sleep, and there will be a moment when all will be brought into fullness and wholeness. All the things we hope for in our world will come to be. This is not the afterlife, as we often think about it. This is not heaven. This is actually the biblical view of what comes after we die. If you want to read more about this, if this is a new thought, N.T. Wright is the guy who has put a lot of good words into this. He has a book called Surprised by Hope, which really challenges this sense of us and challenges us to stop believing in this kind of nether world where we're whisked away into something other, and this notion of resurrection, which is truly, you know, we see what happens to Jesus after his death, and it is for us to hold on to this thought that there's something of that we will experience in. And in Judaism, that was the belief of the time. And so this is a common thing. There were the Pharisees who believed in this general resurrection, and there were the Sadducees who did not. They argued the same way we have in our day, people who argue different things from the Bible. It's an amazing thing. It happens. and the Pharisees argued and believed in the general resurrection, which I think was the more common belief, and the Sadducees believed that there was no, I don't know what they believed otherwise, but they did not believe in the resurrection. And so they come to Jesus, who is now renowned as a teacher, as a rabbi, with a kind of how many angels can you fit on the head of a pin story to try and trick him and maybe get him to, you know, what do you really mean by this resurrection? You know, help us understand. And so if marriage is a real thing, and you know, Moses told us that to care for the widow, that the brother-in-law would marry the widow and she would be cared for. This is a whole different scenario of marriage. We should not take the common the nuclear family image, but more you think of Abraham, who is the father of many, and this kind of family sense of things. And so the widow would be married into that to be cared for and provided for. And so Moses had instructed this, and they are turning this into a challenge for Jesus. What happens after the death? Whose wife is it be? They are on the ground looking at the stove handle and seeing only one magnet. And Jesus, in his way, says this is not at all how it is. Marriage is for those within time. Marriage is for those to be a caretaker in this season of our life. It is maybe a preparation. When Megan and I were just getting engaged, there was a book that was popular at the time. I think it's still a good book. And the tagline was, "What if marriage is more to make you holy than to make you happy?" This sense of marriage as a training ground for life with God, that this intense relationship is something to shape you and form you into something, but it is not the whole story. It is something to draw you deeper into the love of God, and perhaps the difficulty that comes with living with someone and negotiating life and kids and money and all these things is a way for us to be trained in our spirituality and holiness. And so Jesus says, this is a thing for within time, but it is not the story that we are driving towards. The story we are driving towards is about this life with God and being drawn into the full love and living of God in our whole being and person. And as Jesus often does, he refutes them in that way, and then he goes a step further and points back to where they began about Moses and what he instructed, and points back to say, and Moses himself brought us this notion of resurrection. He brought us this sense of life with God. He points to God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the present, not the God who was at this time with Abraham, and later, after he was dead, was with Isaac, and later, after he was dead, was with Jacob, but to say all three of those are with and alive to God in their fullness. And so we turn ourselves to the God who is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And that, we could spend the rest of our life on that notion right there. We think of how that would change our churches if we live fully into a sense of God's living presence with us. It would leave us thinking of where God is taking us next and trusting that if we don't think we have enough right now, well, God will bring that to us in a new way. We do our work, we bring what we bring, but then God takes those small things and turns it into something bigger. We are not people who are only looking back at these words in a book and studying this life of a dead Jewish man from the first century, but we are participating in the life of God in the presence. Now, I think we know that. I think, honestly, we live that. We gather at this table every Sunday, and we understand that not to be a simple remembrance, but that God is present with us. That when Jesus says, "This is my body given for you," that we experience something of God's living presence within that. In the gathered community, when we are together, there is a sense of God's living presence. I think it's the reason we keep coming back. It's the reason we keep, you know, giving up whatever else we could do on a Sunday morning and finding ourselves among people who we know and may not know, because there's something of the living God at work in what we do. I think believing in a living God is what spurs us on to do those small works that would seem like nothing to most people. So the small things of seeking forgiveness someone over something small, and you don't want to leave anything undone in your life. Or the cashier gives you too much change and you go back and make sure that is done correctly. It's a small thing, but it's a sign that you ascribe to another code than just trying to get everything you can get. We see examples of people who spend so much time in their life caring for others for no pay, for whatever reason, and there's something of the living God at work in that. I'm going to call out June Gregg. She gave me an email earlier this week and said, "I saw in the news that there are a lot of kids who come to school hungry, And is there anything we can do? She didn't even think, you know, what's being done. She said, what can we do to help Hardisty School? And I said, well, actually, there is a breakfast program that happens there, and I help out on Thursday mornings. And so she came with me on Thursday to do the toast program at Hardisty, and it was a lovely... Joanne Hosh came by, and I think was almost in tears when she saw June there. And knew something of June's generosity, you know. That to me is a sign of the living God at work in these simple ways. Why would I sleep in and do whatever else I could do when there is this thing happening that I could be a part of and submitting ourselves to that work? Betty it brought to our attention the play that's going on at Holy Trinity. And we talked about how that is an act of caring for somebody in a rough place, and that is important to her. I spoke to Chris Pappas at Holy Trinity, and how that is an important thing for him, that we support David Belke, even though he's come through a rough time, because there's something of the living God in that work that we do. We think, as we come to Remembrance Day, And we think of all those who have died, and we think also that they are alive with God. There was a moment for me in Montreal. I could tell you exactly where I was, and I don't know why I was thinking about it, if it was around November or what, but this moment of realizing how many people had not been born because of the wars. And it was a moment of thinking, like, wow, how many family lines ended all of a sudden in our country with these families that lost uncles or young men. And it felt for me in that moment, it wasn't a weird thing, it was just like as if there were ghosts walking all around me, these people who were not born because of this occurrence. And today I was thinking that they are known, that each of those people who were not born or those family lines that ended are known somehow in the knowledge of God. And in God's perspective of seeing beyond time all that is and understanding the fullness of life, that there is nothing lost within that economy, within God's economy. We named off those who have died in our own families that we remember, and they are not lost to God. But there is a life that continues in God's care and attention. And we submit ourselves, I think, Sunday by Sunday into God's care. I think we do it especially when we come to funerals and we support a family that is grieving, and we are also invited to lay ourselves in God's care and say, our life is not our own. Our life when it ends is not complete, but there is something to come. And we serve the God who is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And it is our choice and our hope to place ourselves in God's hands, to place our world in God's hands, to place those who are sick, to place those who are choosing death into God's hands, and to pray and support however we can so that our life brings more life into the world and leaves that imprint of grace in everything we do. And so we pray that when we come to the day of resurrection, we would welcome it with joy. Amen.